A sincere word of welcome to you as we come together to worship the Lord today. We're going to sing together the hymn 64, brings us to the name of our blessed Savior. There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven, the name before his wondrous birth to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him, blessed Jesus, for there's no word ear ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. Let's read together the Psalm 97, our psalm for today. Brings us to the fact that God's in control, he's in charge, he reigns supreme. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Let's bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, it has brought joy to our hearts to sing about the name of Jesus. We think of that name particularly at this point of the year. We think about it continually in every month of every year, every day, in fact. But the name Jesus reminds us that he is the Savior. And that name was given to him before his birth when the angel declared to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And this is the name that reminds us of his work, the great work that he came to do. He came to save us from our sins. He came to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. He came to ultimately go to the cross and there pay the price for our sin, take the judgment upon himself, so that we who were guilty and deserving nothing but hell might be saved. And Lord, we pray that these things will be uppermost in our minds as we come to the house of God today, as we come to this place of worship. As we gather together, we are thankful for those who are here. We thank you, Lord, for those of like precious faith and the enjoyment that we have in being in God's house together, that fellowship that we have the one with the other, that love that binds us together, the love of Christ in our souls that is shed abroad there by the Holy Ghost given to us. And Lord, we thank you for even bringing the unconverted that are here, because God has a word for them. We know that in the course of any meeting, there's a message, if they could but hear what God is saying. And we do pray that you will speak. Speak loudly, speak clearly, speak in a very definite way to every heart. But how we praise thee that our fellowship is principally with the Lord himself. And we're coming, Lord, to hear from thee in your word. We're here now in prayer as we talk to thee. We want to be taken up with Christ, our blessed Savior. We want that precious name of Jesus to ring loudly and clearly in our minds and hearts this day. It is upon this name and through this name that we come. We have no other hope. We have no other plea. We have no other presentation to make that makes us acceptable with God. But we plead the lovely name of Jesus in our approach to our God today. And for Jesus' sake, bless this people. Bless us as we come here today. Lord, you know all about us. You know exactly where we are, what we're passing through. You know the believer that's seeking to walk with God and press on the upward way. You know those who profess your name and yet maybe their daily life and their love for God would testify otherwise. Oh, Lord, draw them closer to yourself. Do a work of grace in their hearts today. If any have come to the house of God with cold hearts, Lord, warm them with your presence. If they've come here with backslidings, Lord, we pray that you'll restore them. And Lord, for those who make no profession whatsoever, they're out of Christ without a Savior, save them for the glory of God. Very conscious, Lord, that we're carrying burdens in this meeting today. Every family is here of different sorts. We pray that you'll look upon us in your mercy. Bless us in the house of God as we worship. Remember those that are led aside through sickness. Remember Dorothy, especially in these days, that thou will bless her. Remember that dear missionary Elizabeth that has been suffering so much. We commend her to the grace of God this day. Bless our sister churches. Bless our missionary causes through the world. Bless the gospel where it is preached this day. May signs follow. May sinners be converted. And remember very especially our carol service tonight. Abide with us and glorify Christ as a result for Jesus' sake. Amen. Warm word of welcome to Hebron today, to the congregation, and to those that are tuning in on the internet. As we indicated in prayer at the carol services tonight, we invite you to come back. We trust that you will, each one of you, young and old, come as families. We're coming to worship God and bring others with you. There will be the congregational time of singing at the start. Members of the congregation will take part, including the Hebron Choir. There is a recital tonight on the piano. There is young people that are singing. We're looking forward to that. And I want to speak on great faith in the incarnation days. That's the early incarnation days when Jesus came into the world, and those that exercised faith in him, though he was but a little infant. Prayer meeting is 6:15. Do come and join us at the throne of grace. Now, we're having the prayer meeting and Bible study tomorrow night instead of Thursday night at 8 o'clock. We trust that God's people will be able to join us, and each elder is going to bring a thought, and the thought will be on a personal thought on the incarnation. So we look forward to that. Please note the change of night. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. It's commonly known as Boxing Day in this part of the world. Please note that there will be no Sabbath school or Bible class next Lord's Day. We break for the teachers and the children. But we will be here for the worship service at 12 noon and preaching on something that is suitable for the occasion. The gospel meeting at 7, and again, we hope that there will be members of the congregation taking part. So it's another special meeting next Sunday night, prayer meeting 6:15. We thank you for your tithes and offerings to the Lord's work. We have received gifts recently for missionary work, in fact, in the past week. And we just want to express our gratitude and thanks on behalf of the mission field particularly, and those causes that will be helped. It's the Missionary Council envelopes that are due in today. Just remember the Christmas cards that Noring has sent. There might be one or two left there, and also those that have supported Deborah House, your information is there also. And it is the prayer of the minister, the session, and the committee of this congregation that you, as families, as individuals, will have a blessed Christmas and a happy new year. And if you didn't get a Christmas card from our family, well then, please get one before you leave. Thinking of the sick and the needy, we've mentioned Dorothy already in prayer, and we know that Dorothy's in a low valley, and we commend her to you for prayer. We've added a man by the name of Norman Wilkinson to the list. Was asked to do that. His little granddaughter comes here to Youth Challenge. And this man has been battling with cancer. He's a believer, and we would like you to remember this man. He would like you to pray for him. Now, we're going to have a little Bible quiz for the children, and hopefully I've got it here just at hand to be able to do this and ask the questions. All right, so children, this is for you. Is Stephen here? Stephen Fletcher. Is he sitting somewhere differently? Oh, he's way at the back there. Stephen, you're usually the agile one or one of the agile ones that can run, you see. Well, I want to encourage you, brother. I want to do the best I can. You know, we're all aging.
Thank you.
All right.
So,
no, we're going to do this side, we're going to do that side, and then we're going to go over here again just to prove that I was wrong in what I said. So maybe we should concentrate on this side first of all, Stephen, all right? Or maybe we should go to the other side. Who was the cousin of Mary that featured so much in the early part? And Stephen, maybe you can use your eyes as well as your feet. Elizabeth, that is right. That's the children. Go to this section now, do you think? All right. Who was her husband? What did you call him? The husband of Elizabeth. Any of the children in this section here? Martha Joy, do you know? She's looking here anyhow. Begins with Z. What was that? Okay, we'll go back to this section. Zacharias, okay. So we'll think of this through the three sections now. All right, keep your eyes open. Who was their son? Elizabeth and Zacharias had a very famous son. And some people in this church have the same name. Steve, we'll rely on you to know the answer. What Caesar was in power at that time? What Caesar? Caesar. Augustus. That's correct. Where did Mary and Joseph live? Where did they live? Way at the back there, I see a hand. There's one over this side of the church, Steve. The one we're looking for is the village, the beginning with N. Well done. Very good. Where did Joseph's family come from originally? Where did they come? It wasn't Nazareth. Where did they come from originally? That's why he had to go back there. Bethlehem is correct. Well done, Stephen. I'm impressed. I really am. What was the city also known as? What was the city also known as? The city of Bethlehem. The city of David. Very good. What was Joseph told to call the baby that would be born? Oh, there's something now that you should be able to get. What was the baby to be called? You have every reason to get the next question, and that is, what does the name Jesus mean? What does the name Jesus mean? One word would do, beginning with S. Savior. Look at him go. Huh? Is that defibrillator working out there? I hope it is. In Matthew chapter 1, we read about another special name given to Jesus. So there was two great names. At the open air yesterday, that passage was read by Stephen. And there's two names. One was Jesus and the other was somebody different. Emmanuel. Well done. What does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. Well done. Two more questions. What Old Testament prophet foretold of this name? It was one of the Old Testament prophets said that he would be called Emmanuel. He's also known as just make sure that's not the next question. The evangelical prophet. Isaiah is correct. The last question, can you tell me any prophecy in Isaiah? Any other prophecy that you know about? Lots of things in Isaiah spoke about Jesus coming into the world. Any verse you know from Isaiah that was prophetic? Even to do with the death of Christ? Think of Isaiah 53. Or some of the names of Christ, you know, those names that are given. And his name shall be called. There's five names there. That's the final question. And the person that gets the answer gets two of those. We got a hand anywhere down here? In the fellowship area, Stephen, I'm told. Caleb. Who? Okay, start out there. What's the steps? No. No, you do what you want. We're going to come to another hymn. Just let Stephen finish up there. We'll do the same next Sunday morning. There's another 14 questions. We'll do them next Lord's Day. You'll be in oxygen. Lovely was the night in Judea. Shepherds and sheep were at rest. Brightly shone the stars in Judea. All of the world seemed so blessed. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate what you did there. Amen. Brackets, sweet singing, and some of you know when to sing them or how to sing them, and if you do that, we'll rely on Stephen McCauley. He normally gets that out to give a lead in that. Just by the way, the paper pulpit, Mr. McMillan's little booklet, if you ordered those, they're now available, and if you didn't get them coming in, your name's on them. We're glad to have our sister from Liverpool. You don't mind me calling you by your first name? What is your first name? Lily, isn't it? Yeah, I thought that. You don't mind me calling me first name, because usually when people are older, you call them like Mrs. Moffat. You would call them, you know, by Mrs. So, sister, we're glad to have you. Good to see you with us at the open air yesterday, and all who came to the open air and stood with us in that wee testimony that was made in the centre of the town. There were many people walking by. They heard the gospel. We just pray that the Lord will put a seal on that work. We're going to sing verse 2, Mary in the stable awaited, pondering what she had been told. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. You know that we've been in a series for a little while in Mark's Gospel. We're not going to come to Mark just now. We're going to come to Luke, for the Lord has laid this little passage on my mind and heart. The wonderful, wonderful story of Anna coming to the temple, to the house of God, giving thanks. And we're going to think about Anna, the old saint. The old saint still serving the Lord. And if you're an old saint today, it's good to still serve the Lord and do what you can. And I know that there are those that are in the older bracket and in the latter years of your journey here in this world, and you're still doing what you can to serve the Lord. And of course, young people, you've got life, the gift of God, you've got vitality, you've got youth on your side, and you ought to be serving the Lord if you're saved and know Christ. Every one of us, I will serve Him, the little chorus says, because I love Him. And that's the great motive, the great motive. So just three verses of Scripture that I want to read with you, verse 36 to 38 of Luke chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please, as we approach the Word. Our gracious God, we thank You for this wonderful story, this history here about Anna, the old saint of God still serving the Lord, despite her, what might be called her declining years, and yet she's there doing what she can, especially in the ministry of prayer. We pray that You'll speak to every heart here. You've got a message for us. We believe that with all of our hearts. Open up the Bible to us. Help us to see line upon line, precept upon precept. Lord, we would always count it a tragedy if we came to God's house and heard nothing, if God didn't speak, if He didn't have a word for us. Lord, we pray that each one will sit up and pay attention. What a moment this is, that the God of heaven wants to speak to us through His Word. And therefore, it behoves us to really pay attention and to listen carefully. We pray now, speak, Lord, for Thy servants heareth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Few there are who saw the infant Christ when He came into the world. Obviously, His earthly parents saw Him, Joseph and Mary. The shepherds also beheld Him when He was born. And later on, the wise men that came from the east, they beheld the infant Christ. But only two are actually named. And we read about them in this gospel, in the second chapter of Luke. One is called Simeon, and the other we've read about called Anna. It is Luke who tells us about these two individuals. No other gospel writer gives their history. We don't read about them anywhere else in the New Testament. The old bishop, Bishop Ryle, said, "The wisdom of God ordained that a woman, as well as a man, should testify to the fact that Messiah was born. In the mouth of two witnesses, it was established that Malachi's prophecy was fulfilled, and the messenger of the covenant had suddenly come to the temple," Malachi 3 and verse 1. We read about Simeon in the previous verses, verse 25 through to verse 35. And there's quite a section here given to this man, 11 verses in all, and wonderful things are said about him, and wonderful things are said by him. And I would commend the study of Simeon to you. And then we have Anna, these three verses that we've read together, verse 36 to 38, just three verses, but they're full of meaning. And they're full of application for you and I today. We would wish ourselves among them, both of them, Simeon and Anna, as names are mentioned in the Holy Scriptures of individuals, and details are given about their character, who they were, what they were like, what they did, what they said. There are those that stand out, and we would want to identify with them. We would want to emulate them. In other words, we would want to walk in the way that they walked. We would want to follow them. If we lived in that day, that's the kind of person we would want to be. I think of Anna. She is one such individual. She is a person of sweet, godly character, an old lady that loved the Lord and served him even in her oldest years of life. Everything about her in the few short details recorded here are worth emulating. And we can live like this. We can. And we should desire to be like this. Whether we're young or old in this meeting today, we're dealing with an old lady here in the Bible, but the message is just the same no matter what age you are. And so we're thinking about Anna, the old saint, still serving the Lord. And I want you to think about Anna's longevity. That just means that she lived long. And these are the words that tell us about that. Verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And reading on into the next verse, she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was an old woman in advanced years. God had blessed her with long life in this world. And it would seem that she had reasonably good health, which permitted her to continue to labor for the Lord as an old lady and to be about her master's business, to serve God as she did here, to go up to the temple regularly as she did. She was of great age, we're told, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, she was either 84 years of age or she was 84 years a widow. There's a little bit of ambiguity here. We're not quite sure what way to take it. You read the Bible commentators and they will say we're not quite sure. So she's either 84 or she's been that period of time as a widow. Now, if that is the case, we know that she was married for 7 years. So you add the 7 to the 84. And then we have to think about the possibility of what age she was married at. Some of the Bible commentators actually put it as young as being betrothed at 13 or 14. I'm thinking in my mind, maybe she was 16 years of age whenever she was betrothed. So 16 and 7 and 84, and Sean's just about to give me the answer. Everybody's looking blank. 107. I know you all had it on the tip of your tongue. So that's a very old age. Now, it's not really important for our purposes whether she was 84 or whether she was into her hundreds. She was an old lady. And that's the fact. Long life is a gift from God. Those who have lived the 70 years and 10 and more, as the case is for many of you, even in this meeting today, every day that we have lived has been gifted to us by God. And it doesn't matter what age you are. You might be old, you might be in your 70s, 80s, even beyond that. But even if you're just a child here, just a teenager, a young man, a young woman, every day that you have been given in this life has been gifted to you by God. Now, not everyone lives long. We know that. Sometimes life can be shorter than short. When infants and children are cut off from the land of the living. We have heard of the fire in South London where two sets of twins, twin boys, age 3 and age 4, died very, very tragically in that fire. 5 children were killed in a bouncy castle tragedy this week in Australia in a primary school in Tasmania when a gust of wind lifted that bouncy castle almost 33 feet into the air. Children die. It's a tragedy. Many of us have had dear friends who died when they're young, growing up in this world. Now, I'm sure many of you have been in this place. I've been in the place where young people that I grew up with have been taken. Young David Greenaway, I sometimes refer to him, growing up in the church with us there in Portadown, died when he was 16, very, very tragically taken from this world. These are dark providences that we do not fully understand. Even some of the greatest and the most celebrated saints died before their time. Now, in a real sense, in an actual sense, you can't die before your time. But you know what I mean by that expression. We talk about people dying before their time because they didn't reach 70 or they didn't get to the 80 mark. They died before their time. They died when they were young. You can never die before your time because God has an appointed day for you and I to leave this world, whether it's in childhood or in young manhood or womanhood or in the middle years or as an old person. There's a precise moment in the calendar of God that has been purposed from all eternity for your death and for mine. But there are those, even of the most celebrated saints, who died in this expression that we're using before their time. The Reverend Robert Murray McShiel. What a godly man he was. And yet he only had 29 years in this world. David Brainerd, the missionary to the North American Indians, died at that same age of 29. And even the celebrated C.H. Spurgeon lived a good bit longer, but he died when he was 57 years of age. And we think of the mighty way that God used him in the city of London and the great work that he accomplished. And yet, in this sense, he didn't live till the 80 years and 10 or beyond that. But then there's others like Anna, and they live out long days in this earth. Moses, Abraham, Caleb, and here Anna in the New Testament are all examples of godly old Bible saints who were blessed with long life. And if you're in this service today and you've been blessed in such a way, it has been the gift of God to you. We know that quite a few of our folks have got to the 70, the 80 mark, and even beyond. Here's a woman in New Testament times, and she got to a ripe old age, whether it was 84 or into the hundreds, we're not certain, but she had long years in this life. But I want you to notice also Anna's adversity. You know, this 36th verse tells us that she had lived with an husband 7 years. She had been married, but sadly, she was bereft of her husband after only 7 years being together. Her pathway was crossed with sorrow, but she never gave up, and she never lost hope. This was undoubtedly because of her close walk with God and her worship of the Lord. Jesus reminds us, and very often we remind ourselves of this text, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." And I dare say there's nobody in this building but you've been there. You've been in days of tribulation. You've had your problems and your difficulties, and you've been weighed down with many, many a burden. And Jesus reminds us, well, in this world, in this fallen world in which we live, that is our lot. We will have difficulty. Trouble of various kinds will intrude into our lives at one stage or another. No one is exempt. It would be impossible to name all the various sorrows which afflict us in this life, but it may be regarding your health. It may be regarding your wealth. It may be your business. It may be your family. It may be your friendships. And you've been brought into some very dark place, and not least when unexpected and tragic death brings us to the gates of deep sorrow. A loved one is taken, one that we cherished so much, maybe a godly mother or a godly father. You remember the day when God took them. Maybe it's a husband, like it was for Anna here, taken from your side. And we have many widows in this congregation. Maybe it's a wife, and there are a few widowers too. Maybe it's been a child. They died before their time. They died in infancy, perhaps, or as a child, snatched away in their tender years of life. And what a dark providence that was to be brought into. Maybe a brother, a sister, some other member of the family, and they have been taken. We can only face such times by the grace of God. And that's why it is so important to maintain strong relationship and fellowship with God, to walk close with Him devotedly, faithfully, continually, like Anna, so that when we face the great trials and the tribulations and troubles of life, we can face them as best as we can by the grace of an unfailing God and survive. We can come through them triumphantly. We can rise in the arms of love and protection and know the sweet consolations and comforts of the Lord. And we don't lose heart and we don't give up. There are many times through our own human weakness, even when we have sought to walk diligently with God and faithfully in His work, that we're tested. And maybe momentarily we go down, but by God's grace we will rise again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will always bring us up again. This woman had adversity in her life, but it didn't stop her serving the Lord. She continued faithful to God. And then we have Anna's loyalty. And I think we see that in verse 37. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. Her loyalty was to God and His house. It's very commendable. Here is a woman in her 80s at least, and she is faithful and loyal to the public worship of God. There's no doubt that she loved the Lord. There's no doubt that she had a high regard for God's house, like every believer ought to have. You remember David? When David was coming near the end of his earthly pilgrimage in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when he said, "I have set my affection to the house of my God." And remember, David was a king. He had an important position. He had a busy schedule in the work that he was doing on earth, and yet he always had that love and that regard for the house of God. When writing the Psalms, David said, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth," in Psalm 26 and verse 8. And he spoke about that joy in coming to God's house in the Psalm 122 and verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord." It has always been one of the highest tests in the earthly pilgrimage of the saints to ascertain their love for God and their obedience to the Word in this very matter. What regard do we have for God's house? What love and joy fills our hearts when we contemplate the opportunity of going to the house of God? What thoughts rise within our minds on the Sabbath day when we get up? Do we say, "My, we've got the opportunity to go to God's house today, and I'm really looking forward to it"? When opportunities come our way for Bible study, for prayer, for worship, does it excite our souls? If it doesn't, then something's wrong. Something is greatly wrong with our walk with the Lord. Because we know, both by the commandments of God and the example of His people, what is solemnly required. Such was the love that Anna had for the house of God. She departed not from the temple. In fact, she was there, we're told, night and day. Every opportunity that she had, she was there. I'm sure I don't need to remind you about the example of Christ. In our studies over the past number of weeks, as we have come to Mark's gospel, we have seen the love that Christ had for the house of God, the place of worship, when he was here on earth. Don't need to remind you, perhaps, of the love that the disciples had even after the resurrection, when they didn't have Christ with them on earth to bring them to the house of God. In those days of blessing and prayer and earnest seeking of God, just prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we read of how the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the Ascension Mount, and they returned there with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Oh, my dear child of God, there is a blessing, there is a joy that can only be experienced by the true believer in his attendance or her attendance at God's house. The psalmist in the Psalm 84 and verse 4 speaks of this when he says, blessed. Happy is the word. Happy are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. And you know, there's that little word that follows, Selah, which we believe means just to pause and to think about what is said. Happy are those that do what? Dwell. And doesn't that word dwell give the idea of lingering and staying on and happy to be there and the enjoyment of the soul and being in the house of God? Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. In the days of great revival, one of the outstanding features wrought by God in the hearts of his beloved people was their love for God's house. And this has always been observed in the great evangelical awakenings of history. And the prophet foretold of such days. It was the prophet Micah in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, speaking about that time to come. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now that gives us an idea of what's going to be happening in the last days. No matter where you put this prophecy, it was future, and it is belonging to the last days. And it is indicating that there was a great joy in the hearts of the people saying, let's go there. Let's go to the house of God. We want to be there. And this is Anna. Anna had a loyalty towards the house of God. And then I want you to notice Anna's activity. Because in verse 37, we're told that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She served God. That's a good thing to do. That's an essential thing to do. If you are like Anna, you're a child of God. She served God particularly with fastings and prayers. Fastings is really an abstinence of enjoyment, especially food. When people talk about fasting, it's generally with respect to food. But you come apart from enjoyment to give yourself over to holy work, and especially prayerful work. She continually crucified the flesh. She kept it in subjection. She was fully persuaded in her own mind and heart that this practice was helpful to her soul. And she was a woman of prayer. There in the temple, in the house of God, she sought the Lord. She prayed unto God. And she did this continually, night and day, we're told. And this is an amazing example. This is a very powerful challenge. And it ought to challenge us, young and old. Here is an old woman who loved the house of God. And she spent many hours in prayer unto the Lord. Now, it cannot be said of us all these years later. My dear seniors, have you got a love in your heart, like Anna did, to serve the Lord, especially in prayer at his house? And what about you, young people? Do you not feel at all ashamed in the light of this Bible example in old Anna? She would put us to shame. I pray that our youth will become truly interested in the prayer meetings of the church, that they will come apart, that they will sacrifice things. She did. Abstain from fleshly enjoyments. Fleshly enjoyments might mean food. It might mean entertainment. It might mean sport. It might mean not running to other places around the country when you could be at a prayer meeting. But the question is, how often do we, in the first place, run to the prayer meeting? Are we coming anywhere near Anna? She was there every week. She was there night and day. What of us? Let Anna's example be used by the Holy Spirit to search out your soul and to challenge your life. She was never weary of prayer. She was never weary of communing with God as her best friend, praying for herself about the burdens that weighed upon her heart, and also undoubtedly praying for other people in intercessory prayer. And then we have Aunt Anna's bounty. In verse 38, coming in at that instant, at that moment when Christ was brought to the temple, when Simeon was there, and Simeon did all that was done and said all that was said, coming in at that very instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. She comes into the place where the infant Jesus is at that precise moment, at that time, Simon did, and she saw Christ. What an honor. What a privilege. She received a rich reward for all her diligence in her service for God. She was permitted to see him who had been promised from ancient days and whose coming she had undoubtedly prayed for, like many other faithful Jews did. Her faith was at last changed to sight, and her hope was changed to certainty. The joy of this old woman must have been that kind of joy that the Bible speaks about, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God will richly reward your faithful and your loyal service to him. He will. And then there's one other little thought here, Anna's testimony. In that same verse, verse 38, she not only comes in and gives thanks, but she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna's close walk with God was shown by her love for Jesus Christ and her desire to tell others about him. As soon as she saw Jesus, she spake of him to others that she knew living there in the city of Jerusalem. Those who find Christ as their Savior, and they behold him, and they love him, they will speak about him to others. They will spread the light of the glorious gospel to others. They will talk about redemption. That's what you talked about. Good news is meant to be shared, especially this kind of good news, when that good news centers upon the person and work of Christ. We ought to publish abroad that a Redeemer has come. And that is our great message week by week. And that is our great message at this Christmas time. A Redeemer has come into the world. We want to tell sinners far and wide that Jesus saves. To tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. May that be our burden. And may we be like Anna in this. May we have this kind of testimony. I want to tell others about the Savior. And so I say to you today, as you leave the house of God, look at this passage. See the old woman of whom the Bible speaks, well into her years, 84 years and maybe much more. She loves the Lord, she loves God's house, she loves the place of prayer, and having seen Christ, she wants to share that message with others. I say, go from the house of God today to do that. Today, tomorrow, the incoming week, let others know that the Redeemer has come. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, thank thee for your word today. We thank thee that a Redeemer has come, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this little history about Anna and what we can glean from it and learn, apply to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our young people today and speak to our old people and those that are in between, every one of us. And Lord, having spoken to us, maybe take action. We don't want to be a hearer only. We want to be the doer of the word. And so, blessed Holy Spirit, apply the message. Don't let it leave our hearts so quickly. Satan would take it away, but don't let it leave, Lord. Help us to act upon it. Help us to be obedient in the message that we've heard. What God has said, maybe sit up and pay attention to it. And Lord, may we be resolved from this day forward to be like the Annas of the Bible and to serve the Lord faithfully until the end of the journey, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're singing two verses of the hymn 514 in closing. It really is the message of telling others about Christ, the mighty to save. This is our great business as God's people, to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Singing verses 1 and 4. If there are any and you need help, spiritual help, and we can give it to you, that's why we're here. You're searching for something in your heart and you need to talk to this pastor. Wait behind. I'm here. I'm available. Come and speak to me. Come and join us tonight at the carol service. Come back again, as we've said earlier. Be part of the congregation tonight. Dismiss us now, Lord, with your blessing. Help us to remember the things that we've heard and to give diligence to them. Keep us through the afternoon in your hand. And Lord, as a result of us coming to God's house today, whether it be to the Sunday school, the Bible class, the worship service, or the carol service tonight, may God be glorified and may Christ be exalted, in whose name we pray. Amen.